My apologies. My apologies, really. I thought I was clever, but I know that people are more clever than me. So, yeah. I'm sure for new members of the team commissioner, they might be members they might not know. This is just for the sake of this recording. It's Oram Zizi here, committee member. Next to him is Honorable Museki. Opposite Museki is Honorable Manyosi. Then the back there is the Honorable Novello Mack. Then the Honorable Darrell West. And Honorable Leon Fielding. Yeah. You see now. For all the blaming, I say, because I'm not going to try to own you. Know, we will hand over to the commissioner to introduce his team, and immediately thereafter, one interrupt him, you'll shoot from the hip and line your detachments accordingly. As to who is going to do what and stuff. Oh yeah, I'm Kwashi Mukwena. Yeah, I chair of this committee. Yeah, maybe in your input, commissioner, I know you as an opening remark. There is this incident in Mpumalanga. I don't know how true it is, where they said some police officers arrested one woman who was intoxicated, and they locked her in the cell, same with the male awaiting trial prisoners. I forgot the place. Where is Mamianda? She's not here. I don't know how true it is. It made some headlines in the print and electronic media. That these police officers in Mpumalanga, they have arrested this woman and locked her in with the male prisoners. Yeah. While they're busy trying to sort themselves out, Commissioner, welcome once more to this committee. You are free now to introduce your team from then, fire. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thanks. Good morning, and thanks for having us here. Next to me is Deputy National Commissioner Singh, sitting on the same desk with me. And on my right is Deputy National Commissioner Stan. She's sitting just immediately on my right, and further there is just gone out to sort out the question you are raising, is Deputy National Commissioner Fela. Behind me is Commissioner Lamour, and next to him is Commissioner Munu of the detectives, and in the front seat here is Commissioner Moorcroft, who will be the first one to make a presentation. And next to him is Commissioner Curtis, who handles the money of the police. If government gives us 32 point something billion, he handles that money. And all the expenditure and the things are handled by him, so he will speak a lot on those issues. Let me just say, the first question that you raised, Chairman, relates to an incident that has happened, I think, in Mpumalanga, where two young constables they actually, constables who have just got into the organization, made an arrest of this, detained this person in the same cell with me. I think that when the management of the police got to know of this, we immediately took steps, and I think those constables have been suspended. There is, of course, in a case like that, a question of just downright experience and lack of experience. If they had had a senior officer with them, I doubt very much they would have put this person in the same cell. But this is an indication of a problem that we are going to have and a problem that we are already having. This country and in its democracy recognizes all preferences of people. Some people prefer to say we are gay. And if this person comes there, he's wearing a suit and a tie. And the police officers, such as these constables, must say, in this building where we are, where do we keep this person? If this person has to spend a night there whilst they're processing all of the documentation. In some instances, if they take him, because he looks like a male, to a male cell, we run into problems, because he would then argue that I want to go to the female cells. And when he gets to the female cells, the females would say, no, we're not having this one here. This man was wearing a tie with beards, can't come in here. I don't know what we're going to do as police at some stage, whether we will need to have cells like those. So we run into problems. This was in Forkrust police station. Two members who were junior officers, constables, have been suspended, and there is a departmental trial that is going to start next week. Even though I take it is a wrong thing that they did, I also think that there are extenuating circumstances in relation to the levels of the people that were there, and these are fairly new people in the organization, but the departmental trial will start next week, and we will see how to handle that question to avoid a situation of that nature happening again in the future. Without much ado, I want to avoid making any introductory remarks, save to say that we are happy to be here to be able to give you a full briefing about what we have done and what we are doing and how we are handling resources that have been given to us by the government. We handle those resources very carefully, even if I have to say it myself, because I think some of the people refuse to recognize this. It is very rare that a government would be given $32 billion to use in the fight against crime and uses that money, and the change that we gave to the Minister of Finance was 600 rand at the end of the financial year. The only amount that we did not use was 600 rand. In fact, we could have used that 600 rand. We needed to make sure that if there are people who want to visit us and they may want coffee and tea and biscuits, that we have that amount. So the only amount that we returned back was 600 rand out of 32 billion. And we can account for every penny of that amount. I will now ask Chairman that Commissioner Mocroft begins the briefing, who will then be followed by Commissioner Skelton, and we would be happy to entertain any questions that come from you. Thank you, Commissioner Mocroft.
Thank you, Commissioner, Chairperson, Honorable Members of the House. I will start with the following. Okay. Firstly, we will start with a strategic overview, then the medium-term expenditure period 2007-2008 up to 2009-10, the allocation figures and facts, prominent aspects, and then a summary. Chairperson, if we look at our strategic plan, the strategic plan of the South African Police Service 2005-2010 provides the strategic direction of the SAPS for a five-year period, while the planning info, or the one-year plan, which was tabled in Parliament on the 3rd of May, gives a addresses the one-year period. In other words, the one-year implementation plan, which is extrapolated from the strategic plan. Every year, we have a one-year plan, which is linked to the strategic plan. By 2011 and further on, we will have, of course, a revised or updated strategic plan. Now, if we look at the five-year plan 2005-2010, as I've indicated, it covers a period of 5 years, and the most important constitutional, legislative, functional, and policy mandates are summarized as follows. Mr. Chairman, I'm emphasizing these are the most important. There are various others. It's firstly our constitution, the constitution of our country, the South African Police Service Act of 1995, the Public Service Management Act as amended, the Public Service Regulation, Regulations as amended, Treasury Guidelines also as amended, National Crime Combating Strategy, Goals and Objectives of the Justice, Crime Prevention and Security Cluster, and Initiatives of the Integrated Justice System. Then, Chairperson, just to give you an indication, we have five financial programs, starting with the one you see in front of you, that is administration. The second program will be visible policing. The third is detective services. The fourth will be crime intelligence. And the last will be protection and security services. So I will deal with all these programs. But just to give you an indication, the one-year plan is linked to our estimate of national expenditure, the ENE, and then further on, management performance agreement and lower level personal performances are linked to the one-year strategic or the one-year policing plan or the planning info, as we call it. If one looks at the first indicator there, the first program is to provide for developing departmental policy and managing the department, including the administrative support. Now, the first indicator there is an MTF human resource plan for the 2007-2010 and an annual HR plan for the 2007-2008 financial year. Now you will see we have specific targets that the MTF HR plan for the 2007-2010 aligned with the SAPS's budgetary program will be finalized by 2007-09-30 at the end of September, and the one-year plan will be finalized by the 31st of May this year. The next indicator is percentage of personnel in terms of the approved medium-term expenditure framework personnel allocation, and then maintain a minimum workforce of 92% in terms of the personnel allocation. That is our target for this financial year. The next one, percentage employment equity ratio of the workforce. There, for this financial year, we indicated maintain employment equity ratio of 75-25. percentage of the employees using the performance management system. The target there for this year is 93% of employees utilized the performance management system. Then, availability of quarterly performance results for police stations. Now, maybe you've heard of the performance chart. Now, that is in terms of our performance chart, and this will be provided quarterly performance reports for all police stations in the country. Top management will have those reports. Then, number of divisional, provincial, and station functional, organizational, and post structures redesigned. We indicated there our target is redesigned organizational and post structures for all divisions, provinces, and stations by the 31st of March 2008. Further on, percentage of training provided in terms of the training provisioning plan, TPP, that's how we indicated. It's 90% of operational training provided for the TPP, 80% of support training provided for the TPP, 90% of management and leadership development training provided for the TPP, and 95% of the entry-level training provided for the TPP. You'll see at various levels of training. If we carry on, number of reported disciplinary cases finalized. Our target for this year is finalized 70% of reported disciplinary cases within 60 calendar days. Percentage of employees reached, now this is in terms of our employee assistance services, it provides both proactive and reactive support at least 80% of instances where requests for such reports from members occurred, as I've already indicated, it's within the employee assistance services. Then the ratio of number of successful civil claims versus personnel strength of the service. Our target is decreased by 5% the ratio of number of successful civil claims versus personnel strength of the service. That means if we employ more people, it shouldn't go higher than 5%. We will, this measurement is within the next 3 to 5 years. Then personnel and resources expenditure versus operational expenditure. Our target is maintain expenditure range of not more than 75-25 for personnel operational expenditure. Then extent of the implementation of the service delivery improvement program, establish service delivery at all divisional and provincial offices at the 169 high contact crime stations by the 31st of March 2008. Now, that is our target. This doesn't mean we will not extend it beyond the 169 stations. Extent of the implementation of risk management, which we are compelled to do in terms of legislation, the Public Finance Management Act, is established risk management at all divisional and provincial offices by the 31st of March 2008. If we move on to Program 2, Visible Policing, you can see the purpose there, and the objective is to discourage all crimes through providing a proactive and responsive policing service that will prevent the priority crimes from increasing. Now, the first output we have three sub-programs. The first one is Visible Crime Deterrence. There we indicated number of high contact crime stations where crime prevention initiatives will be established. That is now proactive partnerships. Initiatives established at the 169 high contact crime stations and also at other stations. Chairperson, the information which I have, which I'm providing you at this stage is at the back of the plan that was tabled in Parliament on the 3rd of May. There we have implementation guidelines. It spells out exactly what we are doing. Then, Chairperson, number of high contact crime stations where preventative actions will be taken. Actions undertaken at the 169 high contact crime station and other stations. It's like roadblock, cordon and search, etc. Then percentage of firearms recovered relevant to firearms stolen. We say 85% is our target in 2007-2008. Now, the question may later arise, why percentages, and then I'll explain that. Also, percentage of vehicles recovered relative to vehicles stolen, 46% in 2007-2008, that's our target. And value and quantity of drugs seized, we indicated there maintain or increase because we don't know what quantity and value of drugs we currently have in our country. Until such time we can set a target, we'll set a more realistic target. Number of high contact crime stations where sector policing takes place. Sector policing established at the 169 high contact crime stations, and I'm sure my colleagues will later on, if there's a question in terms of sector policing, elaborate on this. Then rate of reduction of contact crimes to be reduced by 7% per annum. We're also looking at the performance chart to give us the targets for each station. It is currently available, but then we'll have it more realistic measurement. But this is what government indicated to us. Then number of escapes from police custody, attacks on police officials and killing of police officials. You'll see we made a distinction between attacks and killing of police officials. We're looking, and there it's also difficult to set a target, except for escapes from police custody. We are busy with a realistic target, but what our indicator at this stage is, or target at this stage is a decrease in 2007 and 2008. If we look at the second output of the visible policing, it is the deterrence of illegal activities at border lines. Now, there we're measuring it in terms of the illegal firearms recovered at border lines, number of stolen vehicles recovered, value and quantity of drugs recovered, and value and quantity of goods recovered, illegal goods recovered at border lines. Now, for obvious reason, we also say maintain or increase because we don't know how many drugs are coming through. Thank you. Number of arrests at borderlines for illegal firearms, stolen vehicles, drugs, illegal goods, human smuggling and trafficking, marine life resources, precious metals, stones and non-ferrous metals. We also indicated they maintain at or increase. That is our current target. Until such time, we can set a realistic target. The next output is the neutralized dangerous and potentially dangerous situation. Then we indicated there, our indicator is number of actions for violent, public, and collective incidents. Also there, we haven't set a target. We have to set a realistic target, but this, at this stage, it might kind of increase, and the number of high-risk operations. You will see there underneath we have an explanation in terms of the target. Then, Chairperson, if we can move to Program 3, that is the Detective Services, you'll notice what the purpose thereof is, and the objective is contribute to the successful prosecution of crime by investigating and gathering all related evidence and thereby prevent the priority crime detection rate from decreasing. The output, the first one there is crime investigation. Firstly, percentage of priority charges, cases to court. And look at the target is 22% in 2007-2008. We started about 4 years ago with 19%, so we're increasing it. 3-4 years ago, we're increasing it. And if we talk of percentage, we're talking of thousands of cases. It's not about 10, 20, 100 or 2,000. We're talking about a lot of cases.
Let me just say, we handle per annum something like 2.5 million cases. So if we say 22%, we're talking about 22% of 2.5 million. Now, ordinarily, you may very well say, why not 70%? The problem is that in this area, it's not only us who are role players. It is the question of the availability of the courts, the availability of court officials, the availability of prosecutors. And at the end of this thing is the availability of the places where these people will be kept. Our prisons, I think they stand at 160-something thousand. Now, as government, I'm not speaking for the department, but if government is going to allocate money and you have to make a choice between building a school and a prison, I'm sure the tendency is to build a school than to build a prison. So at all times, when we look at the complete picture of this, we may put as many cases on the court roll as we would want, but if there is no availability of court officials to prosecute the cases, you then have people being in, what do you call this thing?
Waiting.
Awaiting trial for a very long time. In fact, we are almost nearing a situation where the awaiting trial prisoners are a problem to this country than sentenced prisoners. Because the numbers of the awaiting trial prisoners are increasing. And they are occupying space that should be actually occupied by sentenced prisoners. And then you have an overflow of people in the prison because of awaiting trial prisoners. So 22% is really on our part a very realistic figure, taking into consideration that it's 22% of 2.5 million. I just wanted to make that explanation. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chairperson, then you'll also look at the priority crime detection rate, the percentage there, and the percentage of organized crime cases. It's on the board, detection rate of commercial crime, percentage of commercial crime cases to court. What's important is we made a distinction in terms of crimes against women and children, children under 18 and women above 18. There we have the percentages, and this is also taking into account the 5-year period, the calculation in terms of this. That is why we came to these percentages. If we further look at Program 3, the output fingerprint identification, the percentage of offenders' previous conviction report generated within 30 days, we say 85% within 30 days. The new technology made it possible for us to increase this so that the report can be available for the court and the case can be processed. And the same happens with the forensic evidence. Percentage of exhibits analyzed within 35 days, 92% analyzed within 35 days, and this also is a very good improvement also for your court process. If we move on to crime intelligence, contribute to the neutralization of crime by gathering, collating, analyzing intelligence information. There we have two outputs. One is neutralized threats, number of operations conducted to neutralize crime threats. We haven't got a target there yet, but we're working towards one, maintain or increase at this stage. And then the crime intelligence products also there, number of crime intelligence products, and there also we indicated maintain or increase. If we then move to Program 5, Protection and Security Services, the purpose is there. And
sorry, before you leave that topic, let's go back to crime intelligence. One of the biggest problems Jefferson to put a target for crime intelligence is that crime intelligence works on the basis of what did I pick up, what is being planned, who is planning what. So you're getting intelligence, which is not evidence. It's intelligence that you must first collect, work on this intelligence, and turn the intelligence up to a point where there is evidence. So because it's intelligence, you can't put a target to say, we will know that there are five people who want to overthrow South Africa, the state. You can't predetermine that. And whatever you collect, as I say, is intelligence. So the safest way of dealing with this is to put it that way. But once we have put it that way, it is intelligence that will tell us how many organized criminal groupings are there in South Africa. We're talking about organized crime. We task intelligence to say how many organized crime groups are here. And they spend a lot of time collecting the information. And then we go through a process of analysis of that information. We then take the detectives and the crime intelligence people, they sit together. At the end of their discussion about organized crime, they can say, in South Africa, currently, there are 200 organized criminal groupings. What is an organized criminal grouping? It's not two people standing next to an ATM machine and robbing an old lady who has come to get money out of this thing. It is an organized group of people who have a specific purpose, who have a leadership and a structure. So an organized criminal grouping will have a leader and the subordinates and the runners. And they have a set way of operating. They have specific meetings. There is specific tasking. You see, an organized criminal group, let me think of one, just to illustrate this. One that is dealing in drugs in the Western Cape, Tick-Tick. Right? So this organized criminal grouping that's dealing with Tick-Tick would then have to have an engineer. And this engineer is the person who is going to set up a factory. Somewhere outside here in the farms, you will read it about it in the newspapers very soon when we hit that place. Somewhere here in the farms, in a farm where you might be growing grapes or whatever, there would be a factory. And there is this person who knows what to mix and how to mix in what kind of machinery. That's his job. That individual will not know where the stuff is being sent to. Who buys? That's not his business. Then there's a person who does logistics, who would say, we need chemicals so-and-so and this. That's the procurement officer. So the procurement officer must procure these things for the organization. Then there are people, no, I'm telling you the truth, there's somebody who is then a marketing officer who would then go to specific areas where people want to use this and say, we will give you the best price and the best quality, you know. Then overall there is the big boss. The big boss is the one that runs the show when he sits with his cabinet. Each one must give a report about their specific work in relation to this endeavor that they are involved in. Then at the lowest level, they would have the street hawker, the one who's carrying this thing and he sees you, he says, you want this. They are, all of these people, they are organized. Now that street walker would not know who the boss is. He might actually try and sell the same stuff to the boss if the boss happens to be in the same area, not knowing that this. Now this is what we call an organized criminal grouping. Now this organized criminal grouping does not end in production of tick-tick. Tick-tick must be moved either from the Western Cape to Gauteng. So there must be vehicles. So the boss is not about to go and buy vehicles from Chrysler, a vehicle manufacturer, to transport tick-tick. So the boss will get those who are going to come here and steal vehicles from Parliament that are parked here, who come and steal or hijack vehicles, so that those vehicles are used by the bigger organization to move their staff to Bloemfontein or anywhere, or Eastern Cape. So that's another criminal element, part of this organized grouping. Now to transport tick-tick, those amounts, I think 1 kilogram is, street value is 300,000 or something like this. To transport that, you need a weapon. So they are not about to go to a gunsmith and buy weapons. So you look at a house that can be broken into, where we know the owner has got a firearm, go and rob him of a firearm. In the process of robbing this person for a firearm, you find an old lady who is responsible for the cleaning of the house, or a young woman who is responsible for the cleaning of her house. In the course of going to do a house robbery, they rape this young woman here, or this old lady. So all of these things put together, you then say this is an organized criminal grouping. Then you have to say, intelligence, where do we start? Do you start with the boss? Or are you concentrating on the young chap who is selling this thing in the corner of, what are these streets? Whatever the street is here. Then you will then sit and say in your plan that the main target must be the source. That's the boss. Secondly is the engineer. If this cooker of this thing is not there, they can't produce. Thirdly is the person that handles logistics. And so once you have done that, you then are able to put your plan of how we are going to deal with this. In the Free State yesterday, we arrested an American. He's 34 years old. He is the engineer there in this factory, in this farm. Where does he come from? The United States of America. Where does he stay? In Albatron. But he is operating in the Free State. What is it? Foster or something like this? No. Some town, I'll remember it. He is operating this. So you arrest him on the farm. This farm. Here is the machinery. Here is being cooking. Whose farm is it? No, no. It belongs to some big chef in Putadichad. So you go and find this big chef. This is your farm. Yes, it's my farm. But I sold it to somebody in Lesotho. Who is this person in Lesotho? I don't know this person. He just paid me rent. You then have to go through the engineer to the owner, who is probably this chap from Putadichad, who is the big man, because he pays. He pays the workers that are there every month. So that's how to approach an organized criminal grouping. And I'm saying it has a structure. Strictly follow. There must be a boss, and there must be subordinates. So crime intelligence works on these kinds of things. And I think last year they said to me there were about 200 of these kinds of groupings here. So we have to go through each one of those groupings. All I'm trying to say is that when you see us saying maintain and increase, we're trying to be cautious without wanting to say we will discover 500 criminal groupings, because we have to go and collect information that will lead us to this thing. People who steal passports, South African passports, crime intelligence has to work on this. Say, who traveled to Brazil with what passport? So you would have people from crime intelligence, two of them South African police service people, stationed in Brazil. Now somebody say, we've got enough crime here in South Africa, why are we sending people to Brazil? But they are stationed in Brazil because everybody who is carrying a South African passport who goes to Brazil, we need to know from here, who went there, and from that side, who arrived. And who arrived with this passport for what reason? Because an organized criminal grouping, they now go to your old age homes. The drug couriers are no longer young boys. It's people who are in an old age home. This old white woman who is 76 years old is going to be a drug courier without a knowledge. Because they go there, they are wearing collars. This is Bishop so-and-so of this church, and says to this old lady, have you seen the statue of Jesus in Sao Paulo, right? Rio de Janeiro. You know, that big statue of Jesus. This is the best thing you can, Rio de Janeiro, Bishop so-and-so and so. This is the seventh wonder of the world. Would you like to go there in your last days? Naturally. This old lady said, they show the picture of the statue. Naturally, the old lady says, I'm going to go there. Now, she doesn't have the money. They will organize a passport, give her the money, and send her to Brazil to be received by Bishop so-and-so when you arrive. And indeed, when she arrives at the airport, there's a chap with a collar, with a board, Mrs. whoever. She is received by a bishop. She's taken to a hotel. And she stays in a hotel, and they take her to go and visit these places that they are talking about, to go to these churches. While she's gone to the churches, her bag is in the hotel room. They create a false bottom in the bag and fill the bag with drugs. She doesn't know. She's gone to these trips. When she comes back, after 4 or 5 days, they say, I think you have seen enough now of Rio de Janeiro, and now the bishop in Johannesburg would like you to come back because you have an event on Sunday, whatnot. You are going to present your story to the congregation, how the bishop organized for you to go to Brazil. So she gets ready to go to the airport. After a couple of days, she's carrying the suitcase. This suitcase has got a soft bottom, well, it's false bottom, full of drugs. Now what do? We get to know when she gets to Brazil at the airport, because we have individuals there who work for the South African Police Service. We get to know that this old lady is carrying this bag. I hope you're not writing this thing. This old lady is carrying this bag, and when it goes through the, what do you call this? Scanner and what we can, they can see. Our officers we have, they can see. We are working together with the Brazilians. We then look at this person whose bag it is, and it is this 78-year-old old lady or 72. You then say, Commissioner, are you agreeing that she must be arrested and be kept in jail in Brazil? The National Commissioner would say no. Let's do a controlled delivery. Right. This is the work done by the intelligence and so on. So, she is left to continue with her bag. She arrives at Johannesburg International, she's got her bag. They come to receive him, the bishop comes to receive her, to drive her home. On the way to home, they ask her, when last did you have nice South African coffee? You've been drinking Brazilian coffee. There are those two garages when you leave the airport in Johannesburg, what is it, the Ultra, whatnot. So they stop there. They are in two cars. She knows only one car, the one that which she's in, they are in two cars. They take her out to go and have a cup of coffee at Wimpy. Her suitcase is in the back, of the car. As she's drinking coffee, they go to the car, open a suitcase, remove the false bottom, take all of the drugs out of this thing, package them so that when she comes back from there, they drive her back to the old age home. She has had a perfect trip. So in a controlled delivery, you would then have intelligence people following. As they take the stuff from her bag, you lead them to take the stuff from her bag. As soon as they put it in the other vehicle, you bump them. So you are able to arrest them without arresting this innocent old lady who was sent to the street. Now, all of those things are things that are done by crime intelligence, and I'm saying on a daily basis. We can't quantify and put the figures there of this thing. Thanks. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. If I may continue, the last program is the Protection and Security Services, and you will see there the objective is to minimize security violations by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing strategic areas. Now, the first out today is the protection of VIPs while in transit. There we indicated percentage of security breaches as a percentage of protection, and we also indicated they maintain or decrease. The other one is percentage of security breaches as a percentage of protection provided, maintain or decrease. And then the safe delivery rate of a valuable cargo. And then...
Let me deal with that. Safe delivery rate of valuable cargo, high profile and psychiatric dangerous prisoners as a percentage of protection provided. We are currently working out a document and a structure on the issue of safe delivery of high profile and dangerous prisoners. We have not completed this. So it's work in progress to set up a structure. But in relation to the safe delivery rate of valuable cargo, the target has been, or the target has been put there as 100%. It is true. We are the people who are moving the Reserve Bank's money. We move that money. And that money is not 100,000, 100 million, 200 million, it's billions every time. We move that money from their headquarters to wherever they are sending it to. We do. We have had 100% safe. Never have you ever heard of a heist involving the money of the Reserve Bank, because that would be one of the biggest heists you would have ever had. It runs into billions. We guarantee 100%. I don't know, they will need an army of about 2 battalions to be able to carry out that. So that part is correct. But the part about dangerous prisoners and all of these others, it's work that is in progress. In fact, the document is on my desk for me to look at the question of the size of this unit that will do this. How are they going to organize? Now, once we talk about a unit that would have 100 or 200 people, you then have to go back to the budget and say, does it allow us to have an additional 100 or 200 people? So it isn't complete. It's not completely right, that last part. The delivery of valuable cargo is correct, but the issue about high profile is something that we are still working on. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. If I may continue... if one looks at the second output, security and policing at ports of entry. Now, the first one we spoke about, I spoke about the borderline. This is about the port of entry, like, for instance, Joburg International. O.R. Tambo. Sorry, O.R. Tambo.
Get minus 5 from his salary again.
Thank you, Commissioner. Then I'll have nothing left. They were also indicated maintainer or increase because this is the most reliable indicator at this stage. If one goes further on, the output crime prevention and combating in the rail environment, also there is priority crime rate in the rail environment. We indicated there maintain or decrease, and then the...
One of the biggest problems we have in reality in this country is the theft of cable wire, both at, what is it, Transnet, Eskom, Telkom, all of this. Now, ordinarily, in the past, I and my colleagues looked at this as just ordinary crime of somebody who wants to steal this copper or whatever, this cable, to go and sell to a scrapyard and make money, and the scrapyard makes money by smelting and so on and so forth. It seems to me it's bigger than that. Now, this is where the intelligence part comes. It's bigger. The highest place where this is done is around Johannesburg, in the whole country. If you combine all of the places in the country where there is cable theft, the highest place is Germiston. Now, there's a reason. That's why I'm saying it's no longer just, you know. There is a reason. Germiston is a station where a lot of industrial cargo for the economy of this country, passes through Germiston, especially going to those industrial areas in Gauteng. Now, if you take that cable wire, you are in fact stopping the economy from growing. If you take that copper wire, you are saying this delivery of these goods which should have gone to this factory can't be delivered on that day. You are slowing the economy. I have reached a conclusion, this is my individual conclusion, that it is highly organized, and it's not only organized, but it has got certain objectives of arriving at certain goals, including economic ones. And therefore, problems that will relate to how this society is organized. You see, it's winter now, it's getting to be winter. You will have electrical outages that arise in many other areas, not because of any other thing, because of this theft of the cable, which then makes the citizens of that particular area to be angry with the mayor, whoever the mayor is, because we're not getting electricity, it's cold. Those people will have achieved their goal to get whatever the cables are, have sold them, then they anger the whole of the populace because the populace does not have electricity. I am convinced, I have asked my intelligence people to look at this phenomenon not only as a phenomenon of a person who is living in a shack, who hasn't got money, who goes and steals the cable to sell it in order to make money, to look at it in terms of a bigger criminal organization that seeks to create unnecessary problems. Because if you do that in a given area, it means all of the supermarkets, the food that they have, gets rotten. As it happened recently in Bedfordville. Then they are going to claim the money from somebody. Somebody is going to claim money that we lost this, we are going to sue City Electricity for not having provided electricity. City Electricity will say, where do we get the money? It goes to the national government. So money that should have gone towards building a school is paying for the criminal activities of this organized, well-organized criminal grouping. And so we will be looking at it in that sense, because I think it is bigger than just individuals who are stealing copper wire or cable wire for the sake of cable wire. Now, this division has a big responsibility to do this. And hence, in Ekurhuleni, we agreed with the Metro Police that the South African Police Service will supply them with helicopters. We will provide helicopters and work with them to fly over this area, Jemiste, where this cable thing is being done in a big scale, to link the work of the Metropolitan Police and the South African Police Service, because in the ultimate, we are all law enforcement officers. Whether we wear blue or a brown uniform, we work for the same government, for the same goals. Hence, at every strategic management meeting of the South African Police Service, the heads of the Metropolitan Police take part as equal partners. When we strategize on any issue, they are sitting with us, all the heads of the metro in this country. And if we agree on a program, we all agree on a program. When we agreed on a program of searching for people that are repeat performance offenders, repeat offenders in this country, we shared that program with the Metro Police. We gave them, what do you call this thing? Morpho Touch. Because we have an instrument this big, which instrument can contain the fingerprints of all the people that have committed crimes and therefore are wanted. And so that Morpho Touch we gave to all the metros. As they stop a vehicle for a smooth tire or whatever, they can politely ask the driver to put his thumb on this machine. And if he puts his thumb on the machine and he's a wanted person, the machine will tell us he's wanted right there. They will detain that person and give over to the police, because the police have got a docket of this person. And I think in a couple of months' time, we arrested 54,000 people through that process. And we do this together. So similarly, when it comes to cable theft and all of those sorts of things, questions of illegal goods, we're working together with all those that can work together with us in order to kill this. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. If I may continue, the next output is security evaluation of national key points, and this is in terms of the National Key Points Act. You can see number of key points evaluated. It's indicated there 136 key points to be evaluated as our target, and the number of strategic installations appraised. But this is all in terms of the national key points. Even the next output, institutionalized security of national key points and strategic installation, there it is, Chairperson. It's obvious what the indicator is, and also to be benchmarked, there we mean is we're going to set a target later. We see, look at a few years and take all that information, and then we set a realistic target. That is about all the programs. These are national or strategies to facilitate the implementation of our activities. For instance, the National Crime Combating Strategy, the Firearm Strategy that looks at the recovery of firearms, and also, for instance, the legislation, Crimes Against Women and Children, the investigation thereof, the proactive steps taken and the reactive steps taken within the strategy, prevention of attacks and killing of police officials, so that we know what happens each at national level, at provincial level, at station level, what has to be done. And the same applies to the corruption and fraud prevention strategy, and also the risk management, to which the corruption and fraud prevention strategy in terms of legislation is linked. And then our service delivery improvement program or plan looking at, for instance, service charters. That is also in terms of the bottom pillar and standardizing.
So before Stefan jumps in, I just wanted to say a few things about, our responsibility goes beyond the borders of South Africa. I just want to say, as an organization, prior to 1994, we were a very inward-looking organization. We were an organization that nobody wanted to deal with in the world. And since 1994, with the new government and the new way of doing things in the country, this organization mandate outside has also grown. I just made examples about the police we have in Brazil. We have in other 17 locations around the world the same kind of people who are doing the same kind of work. But more importantly, these things that we're implementing in South Africa, we're also implementing in Africa. The National Crime Combating Strategy outside of South Africa, we're involved with the police of 12 countries. It's called the Southern African Police Chiefs Organization, SAPCO. The police of Malawi, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Angola, Lesotho, Botswana, Swaziland, Namibia, and ourselves are organized as an organization. The chiefs of police of these countries meet often. They have an annual conference, they have a constitution. We then look at the issue of crime in the region as a whole. We develop strategies of how to deal with crime in the region as a whole. We have joint operations where the police in South Africa, together with the Zimbabweans or together with the Malawians or the Swazis or the Lesotho, we go out and say, we are going to look for firearms. And we destroy those firearms. We have helped with the destruction of firearms in Lesotho, in Swaziland, in Mozambique, in the DRC. Part of our contribution to what happened in the DRC is that we had a firearms strategy for the DRC. We went to the DRC, our own members in our own uniform, to go and dig up firearms in the DRC and destroy them so that those who were not accepted in the process can't go back and go and pick up those firearms and use against the new government. We have done that. And we don't say this, and it doesn't appear in the papers, in the newspapers. We do this. Now, they are interested in negative things, bad things, actually. We just arrived, this commissioner behind me, the two of them behind me, just arrived from the West Indies. It was a responsibility of SAPS to protect the Cricket World Cup. They come from there. We send a number of police officers. We were sweeping the stadium before they played the game. We did it. Because we were requested by those countries because they did not have the capacity. We send our people there. Darfur. When people are talking about Darfur, the commander of the African police contingent in Darfur is a member of SAPS, the commander. He is commanding all the African police contingent there. We have 120 people there in Darfur. Our members who are policing and protecting the women and children that are in those camps, it is our members. We never say these things, they are not important to some people or they don't care to know. So in terms of crimes against women and children, we're not only doing it, we're doing it in Darfur already. In terms of dealing with risk management strategy, we are helping to set up the police in Rwanda. The Rwandan police, we are preparing them, we are training them in order to deal with those questions of how to organize themselves. Right now, I have members in the Comoros. because the Comoros are going to ask an election. We are training them how to deal with an election, right as I speak in the Comoros. Service Delivery Improvement Program, we are doing it in the DRC right now. We are helping the DRC to set up a police organization, to have a structure, not to have a situation that they were currently in the near past where at the end of the month somebody must be paid, somebody takes a big suitcase and counts the money like this and gives to this one, and somewhere in the middle of the road the money runs out and things are dead. We are helping them to do a proper police organization. I'm saying these things simply to say, in our role we do these things here, but we also have a responsibility to do them outside. The women of the South African Police Service came back from Botswana because in our organization there is what is called a women's network. Now, I'm only attending when I'm invited, because this is a women's network in the South African Police Service. The women's network aim is to harness the power of the women in the organization, to help with mentoring of women, to help amongst themselves to give each other power so that women get up into the echelons of the organization. We as the males don't see it as something that is endangerous. We are not an endangered species. It is something that we are supporting, that the younger women in the organization must be strengthened by these older who have been in the organization to help them grow in the organization. That program is being discussed by women police in Botswana, in Zimbabwe, in all of these countries, led by these women who came back from that conference over this weekend. So the things about women and children, we're actually doing them in practice, Chairman. It's not just talk. But you see, these things, we're not the type of organization that runs to newspapers with every little thing that we do. We do most of these things very quietly and just get the work done. So.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson and members of the committee, we're now basically getting to the resource aspects as well as especially the budgetary aspects of the estimates of national expenditure. This slide, slide number 15, we've included merely as background information for members in order to indicate prescriptive arrangements regarding our reporting and eventual legislative oversight to Parliament, Parliament still to come. As point of departure, thus, one would have to start with the financial year that has just gone by, the 06-07 financial year. And by doing so, it is most appropriate to look at the broad policy directions of major players, role players at the time. Now, as stated and stipulated in the State of the Nation Address, NTBPS, and budget speech at the time. Now, this provides the broad direction of what our budget is basically all about. May I therefore just indicate to members of this committee certain key phrases by the President, such as improving our criminal justice system, enhanced policing capacity, expanding and equipping the policing service. All in all, in essence, capacitating the SAPS all around, countrywide. Now, these are our basic policies from where we then move to the 06-07 budget and also to subsequent years, the new estimates of national expenditure. Although it still has to be audited, it has been deemed appropriate to maybe just include in terms of the past financial year, 06-07, certain spending priorities linking to the policy directions just indicated to members of the committee, and just have a little bit of an overview, not a full-blown report, but just refer back to it to see, did we indeed put our money where our mouths were at the time in terms of capacitating the FABS? That's all right. Let's try it once more. Okay. Firstly, as our National Commission indicated, we had a full utilization of funds, leaving nearly 600 grand to be deposited back to the Exchequer or the National Revenue Fund at the time, and also within the legally adopted budget as provided to us by Parliament. Now, the first main aspect which was referred to is the improved remuneration. Performance-based dispensation introduced on 1 April 2005, pay progression on 1 July 2005, and then also a broadbanding salary structure, meaning that compensation aspects and the earnings of members at the end of the day have been significantly enhanced. Thank you, Chair. I apologize. Yes, this is much better. This is if we look at some of the objectives achieved in the previous financial year. Then, in terms of additional personnel, this is basically the heart of the organization in terms of policing. Our target for the previous financial year was 163,000, and we exceeded it in terms of our target. If you look at our vehicle fleet has been now a long-standing modernization program. Again, we purchased in the vicinity of 7,500 vehicles, of which 5,500 were replacements. Our current vehicle fleet is in the vicinity of over 37,600, and we're maintaining a ratio, a very sound ratio of vehicles to members as our members increases. Then also in terms of joint planning and projects, we also are referring to the integrated justice sector projects consisting of a number of departments such as correctional services, justice, and SAPS. 200 million was allocated and spent. If we look at the bulletproof situation, which has been in the press quite some time, or quite a number of times, we increased our expenditure in the previous financial year to around 160 million, which constitute 40,000 full sets of bulletproof or bullet resistant vests for members as well. As our National Commission indicated, the establishment of the Division Protection and Security Services, the ports of entry and road police were intensified during the previous financial year in terms of all-around resources. The capital works, huge amount, which we will address later, was also spent in that specific financial year. And then also in terms of ordinary equipment, of which vehicles are a very important tool, weapons, helicopters, and safes were also enhanced in terms of the levels in the service. In terms of weapons, we purchased in the vicinity of 15,000 weapons, approximately two helicopters, and again 43,000 safes for members to use at home at their places of residence, also in order to comply with the Firearm Controls Act. This is apart from the 70,000 safes that was purchased in the previous financial year. Then, ladies and gentlemen, we introduced a new or a revised reservist system. We received approximately 60 million for that, and we spent just in excess of 60 million. It still remains essentially a voluntary system, but where people are called up, they are getting paid an hourly rate. So we introduced that system. We also did achieve our spending priority in this regard. Borderline security, a relatively new function as we face in dysfunction in SAPS. SANEF is phasing this function out. Have also been introduced and intensified significantly, as will be seen later on in the text. Obviously, specific detail will be provided in the annual report during legislative oversight in time to come. To the new estimates of national expenditure, and as in previous years, what we've included in the text here is merely again the three big classification systems of government in terms of expenditure. It's your program structure, it's your item structure, and then it's your cost center structure, what we call the central financial responsibility. We deem it necessary to again include it this year just for members for easy reference and convenience in this regard. Your program structure basically refers to your broad functions and purposes of the vote, your item structure to your goods and services and your cost center, to internal apportioning of centers of financial responsibility in the vote, such as a province or a counting station or a certain component within the service. And we have merely included this for members for easy reference and to relate to when they are assessing our figures. If we take the above item structure, the goods and services, this has also been included for members, that when they do assess our aspects, they can just go through. This is a very broad summarized category of the kinds of items that we all use in government, according to which our expenditures are classified. There's approximately 1,200 accounts on the expenditure side in the department, but this provides a broad indication of the three or four main categories, especially your compensation, your goods and services, and then also your payment on capital assets. We are now getting to the overall position of the vote. The total funding of the vote, which has been referred to by numerous prominent role players during the MTBPS, the medium-term budget policy statement last year, as well as the State of the Nation address and so forth, budget day and so forth. It is probably, again, appropriate just to look at the State of the Nation address and the MTBPS this year, and although it has not been included in the slide, I would like to just refer to some of those indications to members, where the President on 9 February indicated again, and I quote the phrase, to improve the remuneration and working conditions, further expanding the personnel electronic monitoring and evaluation system, Minister of Finance, strengthening the criminal justice sector with particular emphasis on visible policing and improving case flow, obviously in the court. The budget will also provide for costs associated with policing and border control, and then further expand police numbers, investing in technology and forensic equipment, and so forth. Those are all very, very, very prominent indicators from government in terms of the broad movement, the broad direction in which we're going, and obviously it's a multi-year program. If we look at this, the overall budget of the police since 2003-04 to 2009-10, there's actually quite a number of aspects that can be highlighted in this regard. if we take from the first yellow to the last beige or brown bar in the graph, it actually gives one a 34.2% increase. If you take from that 0203 to 09010, it actually is approximately 91.99, let's say 92% increase in nominal terms. That even for the economists in real terms is still a significant increase. Really robust growth year on year or over the period incapacitating SAPs in terms of our appropriation we received from Parliament. This is merely a reflection of what I have just said, to say nominal growth from 2006 to 07, 32.5 billion to 09, 010, 43.6 billion, 11.1 billion, 34.2%. Your average annual nominal growth since 03, 04, constant 11.5%, far above inflation also for the time and period. Strong growth mainly reflects the employment of large numbers of personnel, investment in capital assets, and improvements in conditions of service. Obviously, we are now getting to a situation to determine also, and that's always one of the aspects members of this, of various committees of Parliament always refer to, what really were in addition to the previous medium-term expenditure framework. Now, within the previous medium-term expenditure framework, there were significant increases. On top of those significant increases, the following additional monies in the new cycle have also been added. Property leases, maintenance of policing facilities, new capital infrastructure, new shooting ranges, especially new shooting ranges, three of them in the Western Cape, Gauteng and KZN, operational vehicle deployment system, which we will discuss a bit later, and I assume members have already also scrutinized in the document, the 2010 Soccer World Cup, the normal salary adjustments, the cost of living, the inflationary aspects, top-up amount there, and the enhancement of policing capacity. So those are basically included, the additional amounts included over and above the previous MTA. We're now starting with the numerical side of the budget and trying to give them a short indication of the each budgetary amount as to what the direction is in this regard. These are again the program structure reflecting the broad aims and functions of the vote. As indicated earlier, the programs reflect the broad purposes on which funds were expended. All of them pose credible significant increases where visible policing is the biggest weight. Therefore, the most monies will be spent on visible policing and protection and security services, because of their new functions, is again the fastest growing program in this regard. But it will probably be confirmed by members that if we look at the growth rates, it's quite significant, both in terms of percentages as well as monetary values. If we take those programs now one by one and see what it consists of and what the amounts are, the following would appear. I don't think I shall be reading each and every sentence. It's self-explanatory of nature. But what I'm going to do is just to indicate what it consists of and where the biggest amounts vest in terms of the program. This is Program 1 administration consisting of a number of sub-programs. These sub-programs are basically prescribed by National Treasury and more or less look the same for all departments across government. The purpose is to develop departmental policy and manage the department, including providing administrative support. The management includes the provision for the sector for safety and security as well. Corporate services consist inter alia of, and it's a very important point, logistical services, 2.4 billion, information technology, 1.5 billion, financial services, 379 million, smaller amount, training, 736 million, medical support, including PolMed, 2.851 billion, and personnel services in the vicinity of 641 million. The increase due to intensified funding levels for training interventions, facilities, information technology, radio communication systems, IJF projects, and the AVL system. That's the most important aspect. I just want to make absolutely sure that members understand that this program is not for administration per se. It is merely a program called administration, but the training, the logistical aspects, the property aspects, and so forth are all for members out there in the functional environment countrywide. Then also property management includes the funds devolved from DPW resulted in a redefined baseline. This is basically your support program which will support your operational environment. And now getting to Program 2, Visible Policing, the biggest program in the world, which will increase from 14.3 to 15.4. More than a billion rand in the next or the current financial year, 07-08 financial year. The purpose is to enable police stations to institute and preserve safety and security and provide for specialized interventions and the policing South African borderlines. The increase is due to intensified funding levels for new enlistments, vehicles, bulletproof vests, general equipment and security requirements for the 2010 FIFA Soccer World Cup. Then also further implementation of the revised reserve system and then also increased funding for security at borderlines. So this is really a mouthful in terms of new developments in this regard and intensified funding level from borderlines, reserve system, 2010, and then all around capacitating members, operational members out there in terms of the equipment. This is one of the core programs in terms of those as well. The next program is our detection function and called detective services. The purpose is to enable the investigative work of SAPS, including providing support to investigators in terms of forensic evidence and the criminal record center. Here I want to stop a bit. Basically, you can divide it into three parts, three sub-programs there. There you have the crime investigations, and then you have your criminal record center and your FSL, your forensic science services, are the other two, which forms basically an association in terms of addressing crime scenes and so forth. The increase that one will find here is for capacity of station detectors and expansion of forensic laboratories particularly. Obviously, detective criminal record center and forensic science laboratory emphasis through the continued improvement of the quality of detective policing. And the new crime investigation sub-program includes both general and specialized investigations. The crime investigations previously was general crime investigations and specialized crime investigations. As a result of certain restructuring aspects in the department. We've collapsed the two, amalgamated the two, and referred to crime investigations because they're very, very, they're basically the same. That is why we say the new crime investigation sub-program includes both general and specialized investigations. We are getting to the program for crime intelligence, which the National Commissioner elaborated on quite extensively in explaining to members some of the functions to be performed in terms of crime syndicates and so forth. Now, the purpose will correlate with that. Manage crime intelligence and analyze crime information and provide technical support for investigations and crime prevention operations. Increase is due to intensified funding levels for capacity at crime intelligence offices and continued emphasis on equipment of a technical nature as to enhance the effectiveness of the crime intelligence function. Crime intelligence operations, the one sub-program, as healthy growth, and also intelligence and information management, also approximately a 90 million growth. This is in our program, crime intelligence. If we look at program 5, protection and security services, there are also a number of new or relatively new developments in this regard. The sub-programs are obviously the VIP protection services, static and mobile security. Those two sub-programs are the oldest sub-programs, your biggest sub-programs are ports of entry, rail police, government security regulator, and then you have an operational support center. Actually, port of entry security and rail police are the relatively new functions to be expanded upon in time to come. The increase is due to intensified funding levels for capacity of the division for the continuation expansion of projects such as Swane, Wits, and KZN Metro Rail, Durban Harbour, and various other ports of entry. We've basically now done dealt with the budget in terms of a program classification system, which reflect again, and I think I say it for the third time, so I, please excuse me, the aims and objectives of the budget. If we look at the same budget allocation from an item point of view, the goods and services, which is even probably more reflective of capacitating the service, it looks as follows. The compensation of employees in the vicinity of 25.2 billion for the 07-08 financial year is a figure just under current payments at 25.216 billion. Then a very other important aspect is the goods and services. 19.72% increase, also capacitating our people in terms of goods and services more. Then transfers and subsidies is basically a small kind of item in the budget of SAPS. Now, members would like to know why such decreases in terms of that. The old regional services council levy, which government departments do not pay anymore, so we had to divert the money to other programs. So therefore, from last year to this year, you will have a decrease in this regard. Then the third very important item is the payment for capital assets. Again, on buildings and other fixed assets, fixed structures, 45.9%, 68%, and 10%, which is robust in anybody's language. Machinery and equipment, 18%, then we have the 3.59% and the 16%. The decrease there in terms of that machinery and equipment is because the radio communication system Gauteng comes to an end in this financial year, so you have to divert the money in the next financial year to some other priorities, or the same priority but on a lower level, you can start a new radio system. The next slide is merely an indication of some groupings of our compensation environment, which include obviously your wage bill, cost of livery, cost of living, salary adjustments, and other items which are basically self-explanatory of nature. This is an aspect which is quite important in terms of the SAPN capacitating strategy. Members will immediately see that we started actually on 31 March 2000 with 170,000 people. We've since achieved all our targets up to 31 March 2007, standing in excess of 163,000 people, and we will grow, or it is envisaged that we will grow to 193,000 people at 2010. This is quite a significant growth, as the next slide will indicate. This is basically just a model which we've indicated to people how we get to those figures. We appoint people, we lose people, and the difference between the two are the effective gains. But what does it all say? In essence, it says significant capacity expansion since 2003 up to 2007, 2006, 2007, already 44,000 additional personnel members, apart from 20,000 replacements as well, 37% increase. Since 2002-03, when we started with a capacitating program, up to 2009-10, will reflect 74,000 additional personnel, apart from 33,000 replacements as well, 62% increase. How are these personnel allocated within the service? We've got a model there which we call a resource allocation guide. Borderline security, a relatively new function, 2006-07, 76 million, 180 million, 220 and 222, which will be get to a sustainable baseline, but the growth from 06-07 to this year and next year is quite enormously. As SNF is phasing out, subsidies phasing in. Equipment and operational costs for the multi-year phasing strategy of the borderline control function at various South African borderlines all around South Africa. Detached duties for the functional deployment of members are further intensified in order to secure those borderlines. In terms of the new paid revised reserve system, which to a large extent also promotes community involvement for people who want to join the reserve system. The amounts are also quite significant. Introduced last year at 60 million, we expended 67 million, and it will be 80 million this year, 125 million, 150 million. Commissioner Lamu can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they are currently in the vicinity of 44,000 active reserves. Then we have a big asset. We expend in the vicinity of 1 billion each year on vehicles. So it's a huge asset. We've got a fleet of over 37,500 vehicles. In order to assist the South African Police Service to manage that fleet in terms, firstly, of service delivery, point of interaction with a complainant or victim, and secondly, also for fleet management purposes, we will be engaging in initiatives to implement an automated vehicle location system of 37 million, 45 and 70 million in the vicinity, and even more, 152 million per annum, because this is a production factor that does not by itself do something. It must be driven by a system and then obviously by the police person per se. This is merely a description, a summarized version of a description for members to see how the system will function. In essence, it is basically a GPS location system which will indicate and where the vehicles are, their movements, and it is envisaged and trusted that it will also assist in dispatching vehicles more expediently, reducing response times, and so forth. So this is a very important aspect for a fleet like ours. just say the new Gauteng radio communication system on which we have already have spent approximately $425 million will possess a similar capacity, so will probably be coming online even before the network system on AVL will be coming online. Then we get to the 2010 Soccer World Cup, amounts of $150 million, $250 million, and $265 million have been provided to the boat safety and security, and in essence intended to be utilized for equipment, mostly of a specialized nature, and then also enhancing of IT capabilities, and particularly regarding facial recognition and linkages. This is quite a significant amount. The most significant amount will come if we add a new MTS and 10-11. It could be a couple of $100 million to deploy force levels for those fighting 55 days. Some members are just made aware of it. If we look at our total built of facilities environment, it's huge. The growth rates are also quite significant. Maintenance and property rates, municipal services, then leases have been increased this year, and then also the capital works. Those capital works are basically for new facilities, growing from a $500 million in 2006-07 to $1.355 billion in 2009-10, giving us a substantial amount for the whole facilities environment, ranging from municipal services up to day-to-day maintenance. All these funds now vest with the vote safety and security based on certain arrangements with Public Works Department, as reflected in slide number 41, where the maintenance and property rates, municipal services, leases and capital works is incorporated in a memorandum of understanding with the Public Works Department regarding who does what. If we look at training, obviously we have significant numbers of people. This is a huge investment in human capital in SAPS, as we've indicated, growing from 120,000 more or less to 193,000 eventually. The training amount that will be spent is in excess of 736, growing to $881 million, and the estimated number of personnel to be trained are also indicated beneath the amount, in the vicinity of 57,000 to 65,000 on average per annum. This is very important, especially if we look at the growth in personnel numbers, and it can actually not be overemphasized. The basic training models, as will be found in slide number 43, are basically, training groupings are basic training, management and leadership training, crime prevention, investigation, intelligence, and then support and generic skills, and the aforementioned monies will be spent in order to affect these training categories. IJS related expenditure, where staffs, correctional services, as well as justice and also social development are involved, will be increased from $133 million to $249.2 million, and include the following projects. SAPS specific projects as indicated in slide 45, and then also transverse projects, with a number of projects in order to address that whole pipeline approach from SAPS to justice to correctional services in terms of various aspects regarding the criminal justice system. There are certain SAPS-specific projects, and then transversal IJS projects. For instance, just one thing, to standardize the coding systems between the three departments, so that if we talk about a certain aspect and classify it, then so will justice and so will correctional services in terms of various terminology and definitions, for instance. Such as case completed or arrest or whatever. Then we come eventually to the Division Protection and Security Services in Transparency number 47. And as we've indicated in a previous slide, the basic aspects surround, or the new aspects, provide a security service to rail transport sector, provide a security service to all ports of entry, and then provide a government security regulatory service, such as the assessment of key points, and the four initial projects approved by Cabinet and funded over and above the baseline allocation, as we indicated in a previous slide. The volumes in terms of monies and personnel are quite significant in this regard, and that is embedded in the following transparency, where it is indicated where we take the three relatively new functions, port of entry, rail police, government security regulator. For instance, port of entry, it is envisaged that it would grow from 158 million in 03-04 to over 900 million in 09-10. Rail police from a mere 31.7 million, if I may say so, in 04-05 to over 374 million, and then government security regulator from 7.8 million to 40.9 million. The personnel numbers, I think, are also quite astounding in this regard. If you look at the growth from the base year 03-04 up to 31 March 2010. If we look at a little bit of the multi-year overview regarding previous spending priorities introduced, completed, sustained, and new. Not all of them, but merely to give the committee some indication of what has been done thus far over the previous MTS. We look at compensation-related payments that have been introduced significantly. Establishment of the Division Protection Security Services, aircraft, elections, also death grants. Training has been enhanced significantly. The reservists, the new policing infrastructure, the whole facilities environment, the ITS programs, modernization, expansion of the vehicle fleet, also modernization of computer technology, the firearm control system, borderline security, then overall general equipment, radio communication system, Gauteng, and others to a lesser degree, because this is a total new system. The operational deployment system for vehicles and the preparation for the Soccer World Cup 2010. It still remains in the eye of the committee, the eye of the beholder, but I think one can conclude that the African police have put a significant effort to expend exactly on what they indicated they are going to fund and put in place. In order to give members just an indication of the operational expenditures of the nine provinces, excluding compensation. In 06-07, it was in the vicinity of 4 billion. And I'm talking fuel and oil, travel and subsistence, those kinds of aspects. I'm not talking about compensation here, the salaries of members and allowances and so forth. The amount was in the vicinity of 4.089 billion. We're looking again at a growth rate of between 13 to 15%, which will give an additional approximate 600-700 million to be apportioned between the provinces, on top of previous growth rates of 11.2, 19.2, 12.2, and 13.2. So I think the proportionality is also there in terms of growth. As members are being added, other aspects and resources are also being enhanced to a relative similar proportion. Mr. Chairperson, Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. It's a very strange committee that we have been given such a long time to be talking. And I don't know about you. Some of us are beginning to be bored with the presentation, maybe because we have had it before. But thank you very much for having given us a very, very long time to make a presentation. We are in your hands. We will be able to answer any questions that are raised to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and your capable team. That was deliberate because what separates us as this committee from the NA committee is that whatever we do, it must have that provincial flavor. And we're very happy the last paragraph of this presentation did exactly that. We are very happy. I'm told there is fresh tea outside, and members, I think they want comfort break for strictly, if we can, 5 minutes. When we come back, I want members to exhaust all their questions because there will be no second round. Then this drink here is meant for us. Yeah, please feel free to grab whatever drink you want, either flavored or still.